Studio 360.
As I said earlier, I've interrogated lots and lots of people on this show. So for this final episode, we decided on a role reversal. Today, in my chair, for a while, is Alec Baldwin, who, in addition to acting here and there, also hosts a podcast called Here's the Thing. And here today, conducting my exit interview. Alec, we have known each other for a long time, but I can't really recall. Hey, how did you meet? I don't know.
I think I walked into a restaurant with like Elaine's type of place, if not that. And you were there with a bunch of people that was really no place for me at that table. It was all the elite of the literati.
I think you've made that up. But I do remember another restaurant where sometime in this century, where I was coming in and you were going out and you said, hey, and you said to me, I want your life. I want a radio show and to write books. I said, okay, all yours. And then
guest hosted the show.
And then a few years later, in 2010, you guest hosted this program
and launched my career.
Launched your radio career, your podcast radio career. Right. We had never had a guest host, and here's you being me.
This is Studio 360. I'm Alec Baldwin. Kurt Anderson is recuperating from a costly, painful, and completely unnecessary dental procedure. I'm Alec Baldwin, sitting in for Kurt Anderson, who is locked in the trunk of my Toyota. Kurt Anderson will be in next week, assuming he gets the anti-venom in time.
I loved all those, and I didn't know about them. And
I didn't write those, by the way.
I LOL'd each time. So you've written books since then, one with me.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book, and I put my name on it. You wrote a book, and I helped you sell it.
Well, and sell it we did, that parody memoir by our current president.
If he gets reelected, we're going to go to Broadway.
Really? We're going to do? Oh.
Oh, I think we'll do the show. If he gets reelected, we have a choice.
So there's an upside.
There's an upside.
I'm heartened. I'll have a career after this program.
Yeah, well, I got you covered.
So now that you're a skilled and successful podcast host, here you are, and it's all yours. Take it away.
No, but when you started out, I mean, this is a cliched question, but when you started out, how would you describe Kurt Anderson at the mic in the beginning, and what was he like?
It's hard. I mean, the first few years, I've occasionally listened back to those, and I didn't know quite what I was doing. I was tentative.
On my show, what I tried to get to was what I call the billiard break. What's the question that opens up the table to run the table?
Uh-huh.
How do I ask the question that's going to open up that person to feel comfortable, to feel safe?
Yeah. Not very many years ago, I realized, what this is like, having not been on a date in 40 years, is it's like a first date that will never have a second date. But you want to impress them on the first date, and you want them to love you. But, you know it's not going to go anywhere because
it's
not a date.
It's a first date with no hope of a second date.
Yeah.
What about somebody who was a dream get and you got somebody you thought, oh, God, wouldn't this be great?
There are many, including you, Alec. However,
I was gonna say.
Susan Sontag, who had been a hero of mine and early on in the show, when we were about to invade Iraq, and I thought, we're going to invade Iraq. Let's try to book Susan Sontag, who's been in the Balkan War, written about war. Was a lefty and now is okay with certain wars. Let's have her on as my guest for the whole show, and we'll do a bunch of pieces about war. And she agreed. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I've ever researched more for a guest than I did for Susan Sontag because I didn't want to disappoint her, basically. And then, like, 2 days before she's coming on, her assistant calls my producer and says, Ms. Sontag does not suffer fools. Like, what?
What on earth would they have suspected they needed to say that to you of all people?
Well, it was early on, in the show, so who knew? And she came on. We disagreed about things, but we had the best 2 hours conversation. It was a dream.
And I think if people do feel turned off or indifferent to images of horror and war and suffering that they see and that they feel indignant about.
So in a sense, your change of heart about the power of images to portray war and atrocity, it represents kind of a disillusioning or a reillusioning.
Well, that's a very clever way of putting it. Disillusioning, yes. Disillusionment. That's right. That's absolutely right.
Plus, afterward, she, I think of the 1,000 people or whatever that I've interviewed on this show, the only handwritten thank you note I've ever received.
Yeah.
Another dream guest was Tom Hanks, somewhat less daunting because I'd actually met him before he was on the show. Back when I was a journalist writing for The New Yorker, I did a profile of him. And years later, at some screening of some movie, he came up to me and he goes, Kurt Anderson, the great writer Kurt Anderson, blah, 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 in the middle of this crowd. And I thought, my gosh, what a nice guy.
What a mensch.
What a mensch. And then I've asked him on the course of Studio 360 to do something, most recently on this 2-hour documentary we did about 2001, A Space Odyssey,
yes,
which I knew he was a big fan of. He came on and was amazing.
He did the music by rote.
And did the opening, Thus Spake.
The Strauss.
Exactly.
What you have to start with is the wham.
Another memorable, fabulous guest was the illustrator Ralph Steadman, who, of course, was the partner in crime of Hunter Thompson in Rolling Stone. And I encountered that when I was 16, and it was, whoa, my life has changed. So Ralph Steadman walks into the studio, this jolly 78-year-old, and with his bottle of indelible ink and pen, just starts drawing directly on this nice wooden desk.
Well, I'm making an attempt to draw Kurt here. Oh, you've got some hair, though. You have got good hair.
That's what they say.
Listen, this is really something.
I look like a pig now.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate, but...
Ralph Steadman.
Oh, that's a pleasure.
It was a total pleasure, and I have never been so happy at an act of vandalism in my life.
Oh, it's Happy Vandalism
Yes,
Day
exactly.
Today, isn't it?
Then, speaking of like, oh, who was great, I expected nothing of, for instance, not I didn't expect nothing of him, but Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're good. Fine. Great. Come on. Well, I felt seduced. I felt like, wow, I'd go to a room with you now.
I want to be him for a month.
Definitely.
Magic Mike. What I did in that for a lot of people is I popped the proverbial balloon. I kind of took some of what was my image of, hey, man, you're in shape, shirtless on the beach every day and going running. And I said, well, let's go to the Smithsonian with this.
Yes.
The wardrobe was so much fun in that. They had all these sweats and Rydells and Champion sort of sweats that people would wear to the gym. And I was like, no. This is Richard Simmons meets Baryshnikov. Yeah.
Spending an hour talking to somebody that you'd never met about their life, about work, about ideas, about how the creative process works.
And knowing you probably would never have another opportunity if it weren't for this show.
Correct.
I mean, I take advantage of the show.
And you might meet them at a dinner and have a nice 5-minute encounter, but that'd be that.
They're not giving you an unbroken hour to talk to them.
And the opportunity to be impertinent. You know, not mean because it's a first date and you want to, you know what, you want to make an impression, but to be impertinent. That is the beauty of the journalistic part of this. It's not just warm bath and massage. It's also like, hey, I can ask you something that I would feel uncomfortable asking probably if I was seated next to you on a plane or at a dinner. For instance, I think of the end of my interview with Angelina Jolie.
Well, most of my tattoos are, a lot of them were done in different countries or a lot of the coordinates when I met my kids. So they're all symbolic of my family.
That's nice.
My mom, before she passed, always said it was like a totem pole of my history.
There you go. You seem like a totally sane person. Again, not that I expected a non-totally sane person, but you seem like you have a head on your shoulders.
Well, thank you very much.
Now, one last question I have for you is, do you ever think of interviewing somebody who's a personal character in your life, if they were alive, your parents, your wife?
I actually, both of my daughters in various incarnations as they were growing up when they were little.
He's kind of spaces out some, but not like in a negative, bad way, just kind of a childlike, cute kind of way.
Aw, Lucy. She and her sister Kate were also on, like, just a couple of years ago together discussing kids' books. And Kate, you are now a true adult. You still read a lot of fantasy.
I read
fiction.
A lot of the books that would make you cringe on the subway. Yeah.
No. you read a lot of fantasy fiction.
Books with maps in them.
And does that feel like, oh, I'm still holding on to some child part of myself to you, or just these are the books I like?
No. I mean, not consciously. We can examine that later. But I just like those
books. In therapy,
books. Yeah,
you mean?
Exactly.
You know, your wife reads those books, too.
And Lucy, when are you having children, by the way?
Okay.
I'm going to finish with this, and I hope to God your producers make sure that they include this in the show. And I said this to you. I am crestfallen that you're not doing this anymore. My routine is always, I'm up early, I brush my teeth, I take my kids, we go downstairs, we feed the kids when we're in East Hampton. Click, you come on the air. I listen to your show. And you're so good at this. And your show is such a great show. And you should be so proud of yourself. I mean, I've told this before. You're so...
Not enough.
Well, you're... You're just still bitter than I got
your
the round of applause during the book show.
Well, being in your slipstream when we went on a book tour for a few weeks was one of the great experiences.
You don't want to be me even for 10 minutes.
Well, I don't want to be you, but I like want to be your wingman. I want to be your wingman and get those.
You want to be Matthew McConaughey, but you don't want to be me. I get that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this to you. Now, I hope to God we don't do this. I hope to God we're not faced with the situation. I hope to God someone else is in the White House at the end of this year. But if for some reason we are condemned to another 4 years of this, it is I who will be paddling in your wake. It is I who will be paddling in your wake because you're going to write that whole show, pal. And I'm just going to come out there and go, good evening, everybody. Good evening. And that's it.
Well,
deal?
Now,
deal?
Completely a deal. Although now you've cursed me with mixed feelings about November 3rd.
I think that...
I guess it'll be a consolation prize,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. It'll be the ultimate consolation prize.
What a pleasure.
You too, buddy.
You can listen to Alec Baldwin's Here's the Thing on WNYCstudios.org or wherever you get podcasts.
My name is Sean Ramesver. We had so much fun making Studio 360 in my time there. It is almost impossible to pick one or two projects to showcase, but here's an attempt. They both relate to stuff that we discovered through you, our listeners.
I used to have Rock Band back in high school.
I don't even know what it is, but you got it.
I love the high school band.
Excellent!
We asked you to send in the music that you made in high school and then asked Andrew WK and Tao Nguyen to pick their favorite songs. I couldn't believe I was getting paid to come into work and listen to the music you made. It was such a joy.
I don't know if it's just evolution of the species, because a lot of these more recent high school songs really blow away the quality on every level. It's inspiring.
I got paid to reach out to Wes Craven, the master of suspense, and ask him to judge our scary short film contest.
Hello?
Wes Craven presents...
Welcome to my nightmare.
Studio 360 Scary Short Film Fest.
You guys see my shorts?
I'd love to. I thought it was kind of scary.
It was incredible, astounding. We couldn't believe the stuff you sent. Long live Studio 360, and I hope the entire archive ends up in the Library of Congress where it belongs.